This week's parsha of Vayetze is so important because Yaakov Avinu establishes the two principles that really allow for Klal Yisrael to develop and to subscribe to Eretz Yisrael, to the land of Israel. In Perek Chavtet Pasuk Dalet, after Yaakov has his glorious dream of revelation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the beginning of the parsha, he comes and meets his fellow Ro'ei Tzon shepherds by the well, in which he would ultimately realize his companionship with his future wife Rachel. The Torah says, when he first comes upon this well, Vayomer lehem Yaakov, Achai, Me'ayin atem, Vayomru mecharan anachnu. Yaakov refers to these shepherds as Achai, my brethren. From the very onset, Yaakov is comfortable referring to people as his achim, as his brothers. And we see indeed in Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Mem Vav, after Yaakov steals away from Laban's home, he calls his sons the same thing. Vayomer Yaakov le'echav. Yaakov tells his brethren, Liktu avanim, vayikhu avanim vayasu gal. Rashi says, who are these echav? Who are these brothers? Heim banav. They are Yaakov's children. Shahayu achim nigashim elav litzara ulemilchama. Yaakov instilled this type of feeling, this type of loyalty, of companionship, by which the people who were around him, including his own children, rallied around him and felt as if they were included as brethren, as brothers, as companions, and as partners in an effort. Yaakov helps us understand that in order to establish the Jewish people, the Shvatim, the legacy of the Jewish future, he is in fear of going into Galut, of going into the exile, but he understands that if there is Achdut, if there is unity amongst Klal Yisrael, if there is unity amongst the people, then ultimately one can transcend any obstacle, any hardship that stands in your way. This emphasis of unity is transmitted in the future amongst the Shvatim as well. The Torah tells us in Bamidbar Perek Lamed Bet, when Reuven and Gad decide to approach Moshe Rabbeinu and they tell him, we are not interested in going into Eretz Yisrael, we would like to settle the land of Eiver HaYarden, the Jordan Valley, rather than follow the rest of the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe's reaction is Ha'achechem yavo la'milchama v'atem teshivu po. Moshe uses the same exact vernacular that Yaakov uses. Ha'achechem yavo la'milchama. Your brothers will go out to war and you will stay here back and not follow them and not assist them and not feel as one united in the cause of conquering Eretz Yisrael. To Moshe, that is unacceptable. This derisiveness is thwarted by Moshe, Be'evar Yardin. Moshe says, I will not accept situations or circumstances whereby there is not unity amongst Klal Yisrael. And that is what spurs Moshe's reaction and anger upon Reuven and Gad. Because they fail to realize that if we are not united as one, then really all of our efforts are worthless and sum up to nothing. Unfortunately, to this very day in Eretz Yisrael, the lack of unity, the disparity that exists amongst Klal Yisrael still exists. It's still with us. It still plagues us as a major problem in Eretz Yisrael. I remember my daughters attend school in Beit Shemesh. To this day, they still refer to themselves as the English speakers in the class. And there's a group of English speakers and Israelis. And I try to explain to them, you were born in Eretz Yisrael. You yourselves are Israelis. There's no difference between you and anyone else. You're all Israelis, so you speak English a little better. But you're still the same. You were born in Eretz Yisrael. You are an Israeli. But yet there exists this need for us to divide ourselves and to conform ourselves with different groups. It's an unhealthy way to be. It's not the way of Yaakov. There was an article which was written at the time when Avram Burg served as the Rosh Knesset, the leader of the Knesset. So Avram Burg is a religious person, but many people understand that he affiliates himself with the Labor Party, with the leftists, with the left party, or left affiliation. So many people were critical of him. Someone who's not sympathetic to religion, someone who doesn't understand the right wing, someone who doesn't subscribe to Eretz Yisrael Ashleima, to receiving or holding on to the full land of Eretz Yisrael. And he wrote an article in which he spoke after his father, Yosef Burg, who was also a great leader of Zionism in Eretz Yisrael after he passed away. He wrote an article called The End of Zionism, in which he criticized people around him who would refer to him as a traitor, who would question his affiliation to Jewish tradition. He was upset about it. So I'm not saying whether or not I agree with Avram Burg's principles, but I have to say that I do agree that it's unhealthy and unacceptable for us to call each other traitor, for us to label each other with names and derogatory affiliations. That's not acceptable. It's not a Jewish way to be. And the fact that we still struggle with these issues demonstrates the very root of the problem itself. Yaakov Avinu shows us and demonstrates that the Jewish people can only succeed, can only thrive when we call each other achim. Hine matov umanayim shevet achim gam yachad. Only when we experience this achdut, a sense of unity, a sense of purpose, can they be ensured success. But yet the greatness and uniqueness of Yaakov does not end there. There is an additional principle that Yaakov stands for. While Yaakov makes and subscribes to Achdut, there nonetheless is an understanding that when it comes to certain prerogatives, Yaakov knows and he's very aware that certain principles, certain things in Judaism are not for sale. Regardless of whether they cause machlokas, whether they cause argument, there are certain principles that one cannot have achdut with, that one cannot affiliate oneself with when it comes to compromising spiritual welfare. The Torah tells us in the same parsha, in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Yaakov realizes that raising his family in the atmosphere, in the environment of a Lavan, is unhealthy and would surely cause the failure and the demise of the Jewish people. Torah says, Vayakam Yaakov, Vayisad Bana Vedna Shavalag Malim. Yaakov awakens in the middle of the night. Interestingly enough, why in the middle of the night? Perhaps he realized, perhaps he couldn't sleep. He was plagued by the fact that his family was still in the confines of a Lavan Harosha. The Torah delineates very clearly that Yaakov is careful to take every single possession that he has and to take it with him, to leave Lavan. Vayignov Yaakov es leiv Lavan Arami, vayivrachu vechol asher lo. Not only does Yaakov and his sons leave the home of Lavan, but Yaakov ensures that every single one of his possessions, everything that he owns, everything that he has, everything that he holds dear to him, goes with him. They leave Lavan, because he realizes that it would be unhealthy, that this is not the type of achdut, this is not the type of unity that can exist and that can allow the Jewish people to thrive and survive against all odds. Even his sons, in Perek Mem Tet, later on in the Torah, we will meet the time when Yaakov says to his sons Shimon and Levi, after they destroyed all of the city of Shechem, he says, "Besodam al tavo nafshi bekaalam al techad kvodi." Yaakov says, "I don't want any association with Shimon and Levi. If you may," he curses them. He says, "I'm not interested in being in their company." Why is this? Yaakov understands that there is no room for achdut. There is no room for unity when the motives are questionable. He demonstrates that when there is a lack of compassion, when there are distorted motives behind the achdut, behind the togetherness, then the achdut is not necessarily acceptable. Then one does not have to necessarily partake in that company. Yaakov Avinu finds the median, the balance between unification, but between unifying for the according to moral specifications. The moment that morality is questionable, then unity is not necessarily the best course to be taken. I remember we once went to a speech which was given by Moshe Ahrens, the former Minister of Defense in Eretz Yisrael. So he spoke about the fact that the security in Eretz Yisrael is stable, the army is strong, or the borders are secure. And I remember my father raising his hand and he asked the following question. He says, you know, I understand that with regard to the Jews and our enemies, that thank God we're secure, we have a strong army. But what do we do with each other? What's going to be with our fellow brethren? How will we preserve the dignity, the achdut, the unity that should exist amongst the Jewish people? And the answer of Yaakov Avinu is that we need to unite, that we need to remain as one, but we can never forget who we are. Lest we forget who we are, then all of the unity and the togetherness becomes worthless. Because if the cause of morality, if the dignity of the spirituality of Torah is compromised, then what is the point of unifying? What is the point of being together? This is what we represent. People around us have to understand that we are interested in being one, that we are interested in tolerance and understanding, but at the same time we are not interested and not prepared to compromise the principles upon which we stand. I remember Rabbi Bravender Shlita once spoke about Zionism or religious Zionism, and he made it very clear that there is a difference between Eretz Yisrael and Medinat Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the land of Israel. Medinat Yisrael is the government of Israel. And even a religious Zionist recognizes that the government of Israel is not necessarily the ideal government that we would like to have. It is filled with people who do not necessarily understand what religiosity has to offer. They do not necessarily appreciate why Torah has to be and should be incorporated into the Zionist cause, into the Zionist dream. And that is unfortunate. Rabbi Bravender explained that our job as religious Zionists is to instill more of Eretz Yisrael into Medinat Yisrael. To instill more of the principles of Torah, of what the land and the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael represent, into Medinat Yisrael, into the government of Israel. That is the job of the Jewish people today when it comes to Eretz Yisrael itself. And this is indeed why Yaakov is ascribed the attribute of all the forefathers. He is given the attribute of Emet, of truth. Truth represents a balance. Yaakov agrees to go into the galut, to go into the exile, under the pretenses of two components. One being achdut, national unity, but at the same time the second being religious principles, that his religion will remain intact. And if we remain aware of the two fibers of Jewish society, the fibers of national unity, of being together, of being as one, but at the same time never compromising the principles of Torah, the foundations upon which we establish rapport with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then indeed we will be zoche to hear the words of the Navi Ovadia, as he expresses in this week's Haftarah, Ve'alu Moshiyim al Har Tzion lishpot et harisav, Ve'ayta la'Hashem amlucha, Ve'aya Hashem lemelech al kol ha'aretz, Bayomahu yiyeh Hashem echad, Ushmo echad.
The question that we should discuss around the Shabbat table this week, why did Yaakov kiss Rachel and then cry when he first saw her? This would seem to be a strange reaction according to what we are normally used to in the Torah. Shabbat Shalom.